Welcome to Better Together, a podcast designed to infuse unity into the Zion community. On every episode, we'll bring you stories, steps, and solutions that help us overcome our greatest obstacles and step into all this town has to offer. Thanks for hanging out with us today here on Better Together. Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us here on today's episode. And on today's episode, we're just going to talk about mental health throughout COVID-19. And this is a reoccurring theme all throughout this season where people are really struggling with isolation and being out of work and not knowing how to handle the season. And so on today's episode, we're going to talk about just some ways in which you can identify if you are struggling with mental health, but also some ways you can help combat that. And we'll close today's episode with resources available for you, but we'll also put them in the description for this episode. And so you can access those at any time. And I've invited one of my friends that is just passionate about the topic of mental health. And so we're just going to go ahead and dive right in. Now, the first question we're going to tackle today is just this idea of how do we even know if we're struggling with mental health? And I know some of the verbiage I've often heard is, I just don't know what's wrong with me. And so I would love to just kind of hear your perspective on how would somebody know if they're really experiencing any issues with their mental health?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think that mental health is a spectrum, and we use the word mental health in negative ways to imply that people with mental health issues have a problem, but mental health is like physical health. It ranges everywhere from very unhealthy to very healthy. And so everybody has a state of mental health, and on that spectrum, where you lie, you might think it depends on other people's assessment or a diagnosis. And sometimes diagnoses are helpful for people, but I find that your own assessment of how you're feeling and how you're able to function in the world is the most important first step. And from there, if people need to seek a diagnosis or professional help, that can be part of a healing process or part of a response to mental health issues you may be experiencing, but that ultimately it is your own assessment, your own way of being in the world. And when you feel like, oh, there's something wrong with me, what's wrong with me, you need to find out what is underneath that. In what ways is that feeling or that question impairing your ability to live in the world and to embrace the life that you have?
So talk a little bit, this idea of getting an assessment for our mental health. What does that actually look like? Like, how would somebody go about doing that?
So I am definitely not a doctor, and I'm definitely not going to pretend to be one. But I think that a professional assessment can be helpful, but it can also be prohibitive and expensive. And people sometimes feel like, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know who to talk to. So it can be worth exploring doing a search for mental health professionals in your area and considering a preliminary appointment just to talk to somebody and have them say, you know, this is where you are, and this is a potential path we could take, or this is another potential path we could take. It depends on your state of mind, though. So if you're in total crisis, I mean, if you find yourself fantasizing throughout the day about jumping off of bridges or other drastic responses to how you feel, then what you need is a crisis response. And we do have some resources that we were going to talk about today if you're in a place of crisis. That's different than if you are just kind of in a steady state of unhappiness and a steady state of discomfort with either yourself or your position in the world or the times that we're going through. A lot of people are not feeling great right now, and that's perfectly understandable. But if you feel that that is preventing you from living, if that's preventing you from taking care of your kids or pursuing your dreams or doing your work, whatever it is your life goals are, if you're not working toward them, if you're not moving toward them because of your state of mental health, that's when I think you need to start asking questions. If you need to call somebody, if you need to have an assessment, or if you just need to look for some online resources. And we are definitely in a time where people can do that from the safety and comfort of their own home, trying to search out resources that can give them even a place to start. Because as I said earlier, it can be intimidating and prohibitive trying to think about, well, am I going to go and like talk to a professional about this? And I think that doesn't sound like fun. That sounds really embarrassing and awkward. And you call and you find out, oh, it is kind of expensive too. So what am I supposed to do? I can't cope with this alone, but I also can't cope with this at all, apparently. So online resources are a good place to begin to give you a feel for who else feels this way. How do they cope with it? There's a strong online community talking about mental health, and looking for those resources can at least give you a sense of direction, I think.
And I know I found that even, you know, just throughout different areas of life, that we always feel like we're the only one. And then we recognize that other people feel this way. And so, look, if you've landed on this episode specifically, I just want you to know that you're not the only one feeling this way, and you're not in this alone. And just as we said, there's just resources available for you. And so I would love to hear, this is where my mind's going, from beginner, medium, and then like crisis. So if somebody is just experiencing borderline depression, anxiety in this season, what are a few ways, we'll just start with beginner, what are a few things they might be able to do to help?
Yeah, that is a good question for these times, because everybody is kind of going through the doldrums right now. We're feeling the need to return to normalcy, the need for an injection of energy. So I would say for most of those people, the top priorities are baseline sustenance. You need to be eating healthy. You need to be exercising. You need to be going outside. I know it's so boring and you're so tired of hearing it, but you need to be drinking a ton of water. Our bodies are mostly made of water. And if you're just feeling a little bit less than your usual self, and you've jumped on the, well, we're quarantined, we may as well drink too much train, now's the time to get off and drink water and get outside. The weather is slowly but surely warming up in our area. And those are the maintenance techniques for somebody who's just feeling a little bit down. It's not yet drastic. It's not even necessarily prohibitive. It's just like, well, I'm sleeping in a little bit later each and every day. I'm eating a little bit less healthy each and every day. I started buying wine by the box instead of the bottle. these are small signs, and I'm using a little bit of humor, but people are feeling less than themselves. And part of that has to do with just living in sweatpants all the time. Nobody else cares what you look like or feel like. And so you start to lose track of what you look like and feel like. So health maintenance is a top priority, and then staying connected to your communities as best as possible. I see a lot of that happening online anyway, people Zoom connecting or, you know, video connecting with their friends or doing drive-by birthday wishes, but finding new ways to do that. So maybe sending a humorous voicemail or trying drawing your own cartoon, or just be creative about how you connect with your people to keep some life in that. I've even seen pictures or videos of people taking walks with a few meters between them so that they can talk to each other across the distance. So that would be where I would start if you're just feeling a little bit down.
That's good. And I know, like, a few, just to whoever's listening to this, a few practical things that I know are working for me in this season is really kind of giving myself a 30-minute window in the day to be creative. So whether that's paint, whether that's draw, whether that's go for a walk outside. One thing that has really helped infuse, I don't know if it's gratitude or life in me, is just writing 3 letters a day to people and stamping them and putting them on them in the mail. And it's a lot, but if you start your day with that, it almost just puts your heart in a different spot where, you know, you kind of see things differently. And so to the beginners out there, to anybody that is just experiencing a little bit of depression or anxiety, which should be just about 99% of us at this point in time, we just want you to know that there are just tools for you. Get outside, get moving, drink your water, do practices that make you feel grateful and make you feel good. And so to somebody that kind of falls in the middle, let's talk specifically to the person that can't get out of bed right now till like noon, where the weight feels heavy. They don't feel like they're going to jump off a bridge, but they don't feel like they're going to jump off the bridge because they don't want to get to the bridge because they don't want to get out of bed kind of thing. So let's talk to the person that falls in the middle of this. What are some practical things that they can do in this season to help combat what they're feeling?
Great thoughts on creativity. I think that can be really important. And I love seeing online the way that people are being creative right now. I also want to say, because you and I have both used a little bit of humor so far in the conversation, that is not in any way to imply that this is not a very serious issue, because it absolutely is. And that's the whole reason we're having the conversation. And one of the most effective ways to combat depression, whether it's mild or medium or severe, is through humor. And sometimes it can be self-deprecating, sometimes it can be kind of a dark humor, because that's where people are, and that's okay. But humor definitely adds a levity to it, and this isn't just talk, it's a neuroscientific finding that humor changes the chemistry of your brain, and you end up feeling better when you're able to laugh about something, anything. So I would add that tactic to anybody struggling in any capacity, that you need to find something to laugh about. Whatever makes you laugh is not going to be the same thing that makes me laugh, but find what that is and make sure you're doing it daily. So that mid-level person, it's beyond the point of, wow, I feel a little down today and yesterday and the day before. But same things kind of apply. Make sure you're watching out for your health. That's usually something pretty simple that anybody can pay attention to, because we all know the rules. We just need to follow them. What I would say, if you're past that point, maybe you're doing some of those things and they're not working, or you can't even motivate yourself to do those things, what I would say you might want to do is start digging into some books and articles online and find the most practical resources that you can. So there might be a lot of inspirational things out there, which is fine, but you read them and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then the next day you find yourself in bed until noon again. So if you find something inspiring, find a way to make it inspiring daily. If it's a podcast or inspirational quotes or imagery, put it somewhere where you see it or listen to it daily, so that that inspiration repeats itself and continues to motivate you outside of that very moment. But then I'm also thinking of books like The Power of Habit and other books that help you make subtle shifts in the way you're constructing your day, so that it becomes more automatic for you to follow best practices and to do healthy things for yourself when you're totally not in the mood. And we've all been there sometimes, but when you're there day after day after day, you can't just will yourself, okay, tomorrow, no, seriously, tomorrow, no, for real, tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you're like, oh, heck, there's always tomorrow. Those are the signs that you need to make a significant change in the way your day is structured. And there are a lot of books and articles online that you can start to take a look at. One of the most popular techniques for making changes for anybody at any degree of mental health is to make a new habit that is so small that you can't possibly fail at it. And you'll need to decide based on your lifestyle what that would be, but it might be doing a single push-up when you get up out of bed. And it seems ridiculous. People are like, what would be the point of doing one push-up? But the point of doing one push-up is that you succeed. And so by doing it and then doing it again and doing it again, you're building a habit of success instead of a habit of failure. When you wake up and tell yourself every day, okay, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to exercise for a half an hour, and you don't do it, and the next day you don't do it, and the next day you don't do it, you're building a mental habit of failure, and you start to view yourself as a failure. And that gets reinforced every time you fail to follow through on what you said you would do. So by making ridiculously, embarrassingly tiny habits, you build a habit of success and then you're able to slowly build up from there. And if you find yourself slipping backwards, instead of restarting or reinstigating the failure pattern, you just back off and go back to a smaller scale where you can again build up a pattern of small successes. So that's, you know, one of multiple examples of things that you can find, but you want to be reading more about mental health and practices that promote mental health. And if reading is not your thing, then podcasts, and there are a lot of YouTube videos available for that too with great advice. Some of them really short. So, you know, you sit down to watch whatever show it is you like to watch, take 5 minutes first and look for something on promoting positive mental health and make that investment in yourself.
Yeah. And I had a thought while you were kind of talking, just this idea of like letting somebody know that you're struggling too. I think we wait for this moment where we're like, well, I'm not bad enough and it's not that big of a deal, and we push it off. And so to someone in the middle, let some light in. Tell somebody what you're experiencing. Tell somebody that you're not getting out of bed. Like tell them how you're feeling, not necessarily for them to fix it, but just because we can spin these things in our head. Like, darkness has a way of spinning things that aren't true over and over and over again. And so, you know, I just want to say to the person in the middle that let some light in. Make those small daily habit changes and see where it will take you, and really start to look at, you know, what does it look like to come out of this? All right. And so the last person we want to talk to today is really somebody that is experiencing this severely, and you're maybe not getting out of bed. Your kids are not being taken care of because you can't get out of bed. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe you just feel like you're crumbling. Maybe you really don't want to be alive anymore. I would love to just kind of talk to that person. And obviously we know that, you know, we've got to reach out for help at that point, but what is some practical things that they can do to start taking steps forward?
Great question. And thank you too for your comments on reaching out to people. I absolutely agree with you. I do think I would add that keep your expectations low, not in a pessimistic kind of way, but if you are experiencing close to or clinical level depression, and you go into a conversation expecting the other person to understand where you're coming from, you might feel worse than when you started off. So your goal at that point is to have a listening ear, to have someone who has compassion for you, to have someone who loves you be available to you, but not necessarily to make them understand or empathize with where you're coming from. The other warning I would put up with that, or caveat I would put up with that, is that they may offer you really bad advice, and just get brace yourself for that and don't resent them for it. If they don't know what you're going through, they can't offer you good advice. So just be open to the fact that they love you, the fact that they care about you. And if you feel comfortable enough, let them know what it is that would help you, what it is that you need. Maybe you just need them to listen, and don't put too much pressure on that conversation. It can feel so hard. It can feel so weighty to say, I really just need a listening ear right now. But you know what? Practice those words in front of the mirror 25, 50 times. I really just need a listening ear right now, or whatever it is that will help you. And don't be afraid to ask for it, because I think otherwise those social bonding situations can backfire if you go in with the wrong set of expectations. So I just wanted to clarify that. And so now, yeah, let's talk to the person that's at the end of their rope, because that is a whole different field of concern. If that's you, you get a whole different set of advice than the first two groups of people, because your number one priority is survival, not healing, not getting bitter. And one thing that I find with a lot of the advice out there for depressed people is that it makes them more depressed, because it's something they feel they can't aspire to. And so they'll read articles, they'll listen to videos or podcasts about how to handle depression, and they're like, I can't do all that. I can't eat healthy right now. Are you kidding me? I can't, what? it just feels so overwhelming that it ends up worsening the condition. And so I think that if that is where you are, you need to shift your focus to survival, to riding the wave until you reach the middle group of people, the middle category, where you are able to make small changes in your life to better cope. And so this is still a very action-oriented response that I would recommend. You don't want to just talk to someone and hope you feel better, or pray about it and hope you feel better, or this internal kind of response that we have, because depression is a very internal thing. And so it's tempting to try to cope with it internally. And I'm not saying that prayer or conversation or those kinds of resources are not helpful, but it needs to be more than that. It needs to be action oriented. And so you are looking for things that in the moment compel you toward the next moment. And so sometimes that might mean starting a conversation that you don't feel like starting, just so that you have to finish the conversation. And by the end of the conversation, chances are your emotions have subsided enough to where you can move forward with your day. Not necessarily in a real positive way, like, oh, I feel so much better after that conversation. I'm just going to go dance around the kitchen. And it's not about that. It's about, I feel so bad right now, I'm considering something horrible. Calling someone and just chatting. It can be about your feelings or it can be about nothing at all until the severity of your feelings subsides. I would also emphasize that you need to take the expectations off of that conversation, because people go into those conversations thinking, okay, I'm going to talk about this and then I'm going to feel better. You might not feel good at the end of that conversation. You might not feel better, but you just won't feel as severely as you did before, compelled toward doing something that you can't take back. So that third tier of people, so to speak, that as we've classified it in this conversation, your goal is simply getting from this moment to future moments and not making choices that you can't reverse. Other ways to do that should all be very, very small. So some kinds of time investments can be useful as long as they don't overwhelm you. Getting a pet or babysitting somebody else's pet. If you're in a healthy enough place to babysit somebody else's kid, this is a fantastic way to get through days that are hard to get through, because you have a sense of obligation and affection for this other person's child. So as long as you're with them, you're not going to do anything. Now that spring is here, you know, investing a little bit of labor into the ground and watching things grow can be inspiring for some people. It can also be just a very baseline motivator for people, because they're like, well, I just pulled all that time into the garden, so I might as well wait and see if any of it comes up. And I can't emphasize strongly enough that your expectations should be very, very minimal here. If you're thinking like, once the flowers bloom, or once this happens, or once this happens, I'll feel wonderful. And if you're dealing with severe levels of depression, you may not feel wonderful for a very long time. Some people remain depressed their whole lives, and I'm sure that's not what people want to hear because it sounds so defeatist. It just sounds like, well, buckle in, because, you know. But I think the advantage to acknowledging that possibility is that people stop feeling disappointed when those expectations aren't met. They stop feeling like, okay, maybe this will be the thing that makes me feel better, and then it doesn't, and then it doesn't, and then it doesn't, and then it doesn't. And so the expectation or the hope of feeling better can also backfire and make people feel worse. And I don't want to quash anybody's hope. I don't want to say like, don't bother hoping that you'll feel better someday. I just mean that if you are in the severest throes of depression, your focus is not on getting better. It's on living. It's on surviving. And people who have been there recognize that, you know, go out for a run, go out for coffee with a friend is not a helpful answer when they're in the darkest place. So the answers there tend to be much, much smaller. And it might be calling a hotline. It might be texting somebody that you know tends to be awake in the middle of the night. It may be just stepping outside just for the change of air around you. And so where I would see advice like go for a walk, go outside and run or do some, you know, run around with your kids. And I think those things are valuable. But if you feel like you're incapable of doing that, don't let that make you feel worse. That doesn't have to be you. You can also be the person that just steps outside, feels the air and the sun when we have it on your face, and then go back inside. And that allowing yourself off the hook like that can be really, it can encourage growth because you are not asking too much of yourself when you're not able to deliver. When you ask too much of yourself and you're not able to deliver, you feel worse about yourself and it becomes a pretty vicious cycle.
Yeah. And I know we read a book together that really just kind of helped us both get the tools and understanding we needed just to even have this conversation, but to really help others through this as well. And one of the tools I loved in the book was this idea of having something you're accountable for, which I know you already touched on, but how important it is to like not necessarily like plan all the way out in advance, but small things that you're accountable for that you know you'll show up for. And so I just think that's so powerful. I had a thought as well when you said this idea of like false hope and like always feeling just let down because you didn't do it or you didn't get it done. And I was listening to a Craig Rochelle podcast where he talked about how optimism can often hurt us and how if we don't accept the reality of where we are, we will get stuck here and usually get a little further back because we're let down over and over and over again. And specifically, he was talking about COVID-19 and how people are like, oh, it's going to be the end of April and then the end of May. And we don't really know. And every time we set our eyes on a date and say it's going to be that and it changes, we experience a little more piece of despair and uncertainty. And it's hard. And so one really useful tool that he kind of gave us on that is he's like buckle up for the long haul and then be pleasantly surprised if it ends sooner. And just doing those small acts, you know, making it through the day, staying alive and deciding that just even if it's for the hour, I'm going to stay alive this hour and 1 hour at a time. And so I don't know, just all really good stuff. And any final thoughts?
That's a great observation. And I think that one of the elements of the book that could be useful to some people is the idea of waiting because it has a neutrality to it. So not just with our world situation right now, but with people's own personal mental health, often their minds go in a positive direction or a negative direction. And either one can be harmful, especially in a state of severe mental unhealth. That if you're thinking too positively, you get depressed because you can't meet those expectations. And if you're thinking too negatively, you're just feeding the already negative fire. Whereas a more neutral stance can be the best way to ride the wave. And so in the book, there's a part that talks about just waiting and maybe even just telling yourself, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. And it has this mantra quality to it that takes away the need for you to analyze your situation. It takes away the need for you to make an emotional assessment of your situation. It takes away the need for plans or expectations or resolutions or any of those things that can put so much pressure on a person who's in a fragile state that whatever helps you maintain neutrality during that time, counting, repeating a word, typing nonsense on the keyboard, just nonsense letters, striking the same key on the piano over and over again if there's a piano in your space, or finding something that's completely menial, something totally mindless to maintain mental neutrality until you're able to enter into a directional state in from a healthier platform, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And so, yeah, just thanks so much for hanging out. And as we said at the beginning of the episode, there are some resources available for you. And so the book we're referring to in this podcast is The Depressed Person's Guide to Avoiding Suicide. And really, it just gives you tools to stay alive. Really. And so another resource that you can use is the Lake County Health Department does have a crisis line. It's open 24/7. Their phone number is 847-377-8088. There's also Zoom AA meetings, and NICASA is helping in the season. And so all of that being said, you can get all this information at ZionTogether.com under the resources tab. And look, if this episode hits home, I want you to know that any way you contact us, we will do our best to get you connected with the resources that you need. And we're just so thankful that you tuned in today. And so keep going, guys. Keep weathering this. I know it's hard. I know that it just comes with a lot of struggles. And so just want to encourage you to keep going, stay in the game, and connect with us if you need resources. Have a great day, guys.